Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. How are you? Hope you're doing well. I am your host, Barry Johnston. Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. With me is my best friend, Mr. Adam Beebe. How are you, Adam?
I am well. Thank you very much, Barry. How are you doing over there?
Very well, sir. Very well. And, man, really wanting to get into this Area 51, storm the fucking fences, you know?
Dude.
Huh?
many thoughts on this subject. Of course, you know, if you've been on Facebook or any kind of social media over the past few weeks, building up to this, there is a movement that and many people have joined in.
Yeah.
And what they want to do is in September they want to storm the gates at Area 51. They want to see the aliens.
I heard it started as a joke.
And then it
took on a life of its own.
That seems very very logical and likely to me. It's one of those things that, you know, I would love to go to Area 51. Mm-hmm. I would love to see the aliens. But you know, I remember hearing a few years back that it's not the Area 51. Firstly, it's not the same Area 51 it used to be. It's a different place now.
Right.
And secondly, that they have moved all the alien junk from Area 51 because everybody knew about it too.
Right.
You know, I would think it was like Hangar 18. So it's a whole other place, right?
Right.
Beyond that, you might be going knocking on the wrong door. It's really a bad idea. Even if you are a million people strong, it's a really bad idea to try and storm a United States government military installation.
Really bad idea.
Because they are not going to play around.
No.
On the upshot, on the lucky side, you'll get arrested.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Yeah.
On the other side, you could die.
Yeah.
You could get shot.
It's a good
They
chance.
Are not fucking around.
Yeah. There's a good chance, man.
They've come out and said, don't do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
yeah, I think it's a lot of energy spent on nothing, you know, and you know, even Bob Lazar, who hopefully we'll have a discussion about, but mm-hmm. Bob Lazar, who they had a documentary come out about here recently, and he was the one that came out in the late 80s about he was a contractor that was working on these alien spacecraft, basically.
Yep.
And he came out and said, because people were asking him about this, and he said, "You guys are a bunch of idiots. You know, the where the stuff is like you were talking about. It's in other places. You know, like there's a south portion of Area 51 that, you know, they have stuff out. There's stuff all mm-hmm. over the place. They're not going to keep all the stuff there. You know,
not in one place.
No." So, yeah, people are crazy. I think it's hilarious, though. I want to watch and see if it happens.
I do, too. But at the same time, I also want to take this time and highly recommend to people that are listening, if you do plan on doing this, we urge you not to, just for your own safety. Yeah. And we're not government shills by any means. We're just, you know, we're concerned about our small listenership.
Right.
I think we can't afford to lose any of you guys.
Yeah, I think being a shill, you have to have some influence, right? I don't think we fit that definition.
Or getting some money from them.
Yeah,
and I'm certain I'm paying money to them. I'm not getting it. So. But yeah, so if you have this in mind, you know, and you do, and you're hell bent on going and crashing the gates and seeing the aliens. And if you don't get shot, please come on the show afterwards and tell us the story and tell us how things about it. So
yeah, maybe it'll make a great story.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll make a great story one way or the other. But do be careful if you do choose to pursue that route. I had to make a disclaimer for us immediately because I knew people were going to ask.
Good call.
And yeah, we're not doing that. So we're not going to be part of it. You know, but here's another funny thing, Facebook related, and at least you see a lot of it on Facebook. This is also a relatively new story, be a week or two old by the time this gets out. But you've seen this face app, right? Where people take the photos and an AI program ages you.
Yeah, it's really real. Freaky. It is freaky real, dude. Good.
Well, it's come out, or it's come to the attention now, that that this AI is a Russian company that owns this, and they've been around for a while, but it's just really taken off in the past like week or so here in the in the States, it seems, because you see old people that are not old, you know, their faces popping up everywhere. This AI company, the company that owns this app and owns this AI program, the AI will, unlike most of your regular apps and stuff, it will do it there on your phone. This takes your image that you submit and it puts it up on the cloud, and that's where the AI does its magic AI stuff, because it's, you know, artificial intelligence and it's doing all that stuff. It does it there and then it sends it back to you. But what you don't realize when you're not reading all the fine print and you're agreeing to terms and services, because really, who reads that stuff? Not many of us. When you send them that picture, from that point on, they own that picture. And they and they can do whatever they want with that picture. They can do anything.
Wow, dude. That's crazy. It's
a little scary because if they can age you, and we're now in the era of like where they can do stuff with videos like, you know, deep fakes. I don't know if you've heard of deep fakes.
Oh yeah. Well, what is that? Is that what where they take your image and they put it on someone else's face, right? Your face and put it on someone else's face. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Essentially. That, yeah.
It's their body. Shit. Yeah.
And it looks real and it's only getting more advanced. And so what they can, I mean, potentially what they could do is, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not, you know, any really into that. I like hearing about them. They're fun, but I don't, you know, really believe any of them. Or if I do, I'm not going to reveal it here on the podcast. But it gives this company the potential to use billions of faces for whatever they want to do.
Yes.
And they could do anything with them. They could make you a talking head on a commercial, or
they could do it in your voice, They've got technology now where they can sample your voice, and each sound that comes out of your mouth, they're able to type up a message and read it, and it sounds like you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you put that with the person's face.
They could make you, I mean, if you want to get, you know, like, again, you want to step into that conspiracy theory and deep state, dark shadow government world, they could make you make a manifesto video where you admitted that you're the one that killed Kennedy, or that did any kind of crime.
For sure. You're selling hot dogs in Mumbai, you know? I've never been there. I'm selling hot dogs.
So I don't know. It's just kind of like, it's kind of scary, potentially scary. It's kind of weird. It's kind of spooky. I'm playing it safe, and I'm not going to do it. And I tell you, man, I was going to do it because I see all these faces, and they're like, wow.
I know. That's what I was looking at, too, today. Yeah, so that's funny, but man.
And then I see all these things all over today popping up and all this stuff. So, you know.
Well, we've already got too much of our information out there. You know? It's way true. So every time I click on an app and it has to update the software, It always asks, you know, Instagram needs to get your microphone information, or, you know, it's like, why the fuck do you need my microphone or my contacts? You know, it's like, they already got everything, man.
Yeah. And it's all for marketing. It's all to sell you new stuff that you don't need on the internet or whatever. So anyway, hey, that's some weird stuff that happened in the news. Let's go to some other weird stuff. Our guest today is he's a friend of mine from when I owned my comic shop in Goldsboro, North Carolina. And he came in with the crew. I had a bunch of friends that were Magic the Gathering players, and they needed a spot to play. And so I opened up the store to them to come and play, and we would have the, you know, the Friday night Magic meetings, you know, games and stuff. And we would do the tournaments and all the stuff there. And it was a lot of fun. I played for a while, but I got burned out because I was not good. Yeah. And so, you know, I've never been a good at playing any kind of games. So, you know, I was like, all right, I get done. But, you know, we had a good time there for a while. And Sean was one of the people that came with that crew, and we became friends. And he is just, he's an awesome dude. And he's like super laid back and just the chillest guy. And he's good country folk like we are. Yeah. And I think the world of him. So he came on, and he's got some great stories from his teen years when chasing down some urban legends and some ghosts and stuff like that. We had a lot of laughs and a lot of good times with him on here. And so, Sean, you know, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad I could help out. So all my stories are centered pretty closely to where I've grown up in rural North Carolina, although Goldsboro is not too small. It's not a big place.
No.
And the only reason it is big is because we got an Air Force base. But, so my first experience with, like, checking out an urban legend was this place called Acid Park. And if you want to check it out, you can look up Acid Park, Wilson, North Carolina, and you will see some amazing things. But you might not want to look up just yet.
Yeah. Acid Park is a big urban legend in eastern North Carolina.
Okay.
And I heard about it many years ago, back when I was living in Greenville, and people would talk about Acid Park and trying to find it. So that was part of the legend.
Cool,
so.
So the story, there's probably a few of them, but as I heard it when I was growing up, and this is, I guess, around 1989 when I was about 16 years old. The story goes that there's a girl, and she's coming home from her prom high on acid, and she has a wreck at this five-way crossroads and dies. And then her father, to prevent more accidents there, sets up reflectors all along that intersection. And basically that, I've also heard a version where her boyfriend was with her and he survived, and the descriptions of his hallucinations inspired the father with his reflector designs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So 16 years old, me and my buddy, he's heard about it. He's like, let's go. So he's got a car. We take off riding to Wilson, which is one county north of where I live. Maybe about a 45-minute hour drive to get there. And it was actually really simple to find. You just take the correct turn and drive straight down the road. So right before you get to it, I don't know what to call it other than a hill, but it's not a hill. It's more like a drop-off where the land goes, you know, a hill makes you think of going up and down, but there's just down. you know, and it drops about 50 feet.
Okay. Wow.
So as you're going, you're just going straight down this road. And as you get close to this, where it goes down, it just, you're like nothing, you know, it looks like you're riding off the edge of the world. It's that steep of a drop off on this road. And as soon as you crest it and start going down, and of course it's best to go at night, but your headlights hit these reflectors and it's just an explosion of colors, like fireworks on the biggest order. And it is really amazing to look at, and you can't really tell as you're looking at it until you slow down and start wandering around. But it's not just reflectors. It's reflectors on these sculptures, like 30-foot tall windmills.
Oh, Lord. Oh,
and whirligigs. Yeah. And it's just full. Just, it's huge. And I'm sure you can do an image search. It's also called Whirligig Park. Mm-hmm. But there's just hundreds of pictures of this place. And it's just an amazing tourist attraction that just happens to have an urban legend to go with it.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah, the guy who did it, his name is, he's an artist. His name is Wallace Simpson. And that's the story, apparently, that goes along with it. And there's variations on the theme. But he's the one who did it.
Wow,
and,
I'm looking at it. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can easily just type in Acid Park NC and you'll find all sorts of stuff come up. Wow. Or Whirligig Park. And it's amazing. I never went out there. I never could find it. But I have seen a lot of his whirligigs, and they're really just amazing. There's one in downtown Goldsboro by the Arts Council. They got one. They did, at least whenever I was there.
Man. It's all kinds of crazy shit, like
windmill
type things, and then there's one that looks like a merry-go-round, and like
I remember a donkey pulling a cart, and like jet fighters, and
crazy.
It was just amazing, and it's at this corner of this five-way intersection.
Yeah.
And so you just go down different roads and come back and shine your light from a different angle on it, your headlights, and you'll never see everything.
I'm saying this now. The next time I go back to North Carolina, I'm gonna try to find Acid Park for us.
Well, if you get in touch with me, I probably can find it. Most likely. Roads have changed a little bit, or the highways, but
that's true.
But I can most likely find it.
I had a bunch of friends when I was there in Goldsboro who were looking for it, and they could never find it. So it's probably because it's about the same distance. I think Wilson's about the same distance between Goldsboro and
Greenville.
Yeah, and that's what I meant. And people in Greenville.
Yeah, I could find it coming from Goldsboro. There's no way I could find it coming from anywhere else.
Yeah. So that's cool, dude. That's really cool.
Yeah,
really
I've been twice. It's really awesome experience to go just see it. I mean, I kind of the equivalent of going out and seeing Christmas lights, but you can do it all year long, and there's a whole lot more work into it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh. I also forgot to mention that there's a supposedly the car she wrecked in is still there. One of the roads is a dirt road, and we actually went down it, and there is a car there. Wow. And it's been there so long that a tree's grown through the hood, and there's like a piece of engine up in the tree, and
wow,
that's cool, dude.
That's cool.
Don't know how or how much of the legend's true or anything, but it is a place, and it's a cool place to visit. I know North Carolina's got a lot of urban legends and ghost stories and whatnot, but the only other like major one that I know you can look up that I've been to like many times is called the Fremont Light. And Fremont is a town in Wayne County. Towards Wilson, actually, but It's a little bitty town. Like, yeah, it may have a stoplight, but I don't think it did at the time. And same buddy that I went to Acid Park with, me and him did a lot of things together. Although I should tell you about him a little bit. He was a good friend through all of high school. He's like the only person in my neighborhood my age. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the kind of guys that he's got book smarts, but no common sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I know people like that.
My parents had nicknames for him. My mom called him Bozo and my dad called him Dummy. And I think part of it was that him and my dad had the same first name, so my dad really didn't like him. So
setting a bad precedence.
So, as it goes, you hear from people you go to school with the tale of the Fremont Light, and I'm pretty sure there's multiple accounts of it, but different versions. But as I heard it, there's a set of train tracks that runs through Fremont, and at some point in time, someone fell asleep on the tracks and their head got cut off. And the Fremont Light is supposed to be their ghost walking down the tracks, swinging their lantern, looking for their head. And so you're supposed to see a wavering light coming down the tracks towards you. I've heard that it was a railroad worker, but why would a railroad worker be just randomly on some tracks? I don't know. Anyway, that's the story of it.
So you went out there, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I've been out there at least four times, and each time has been an experience, I'll tell you. So the very first time, me and same buddy, he gets directions from some people at school, and we ride out there, and the tracks are like, there's, you turn down a little dirt road and there's maybe about a 10-foot line of trees separate between the tracks and the main road. And then you just have this little dirt road that cuts in between the trees, and there's the tracks, and it's just tracks. There's no warning signs. There's no nothing. It's just bare tracks that you can just drive across, you know? And, we get there and there's quite a few people there, 'cause I guess they had made it an event. A bunch of people were going to show up, although I didn't know any of them. And my buddy's dumbass parks directly on the tracks. Just straight on the tracks, just straddling them. And so we get out and we're talking to other people that are there, and you know, we're standing on the tracks and looking and trying to see if there's a light, and I'm like, there's like 20 people out here. Why is this light gonna show up? So we're looking and whatnot, and a few other people are like, hey man, move your car off the damn tracks. Trains come through here, you know? And so we get back in the car, and it won't start.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
And he's like, oh, my God, man. What's it? The ghost. The ghost has got it. My car won't start, and it keeps trying, and it won't do nothing. And I'm like, look down, and I was like, man, you got it in drive. You got to take it out of drive. It's not going to start.
The ghost moved the gear shift.
Yeah. So he starts up and we move off the track. And that was basically it. It's just a bunch of teenagers hanging out in the middle of the night on some tracks.
Was there a certain time that we're supposed to be out there for to see it, or was it just?
I don't remember, other than it. You know, it had to be quite dark. You know, it couldn't be just after the sun went down. It had to be good and dark. Okay. I mean, like I suppose Moonlight was fine, but I don't know. You know, I've went out there many times and probably different conditions each time. But that was basically it the first time. It was, my buddy got scared and we left. he's always been a really religious dude, and so.
Don't poke the bear.
Yeah,
he's just taken to it a little bit more than I have. Stuff like that, and I'm a born skeptic, but I love this stuff, but
yeah,
I'm skeptic, and so the second time we go, it's just me and him, and we're not meeting anybody. It's just something we decide to do. I had really lax parents. They let me do whatever I wanted because they trusted me and I could go and come and go as I wanted. So, this could have been 2 a.m. we went. I don't know. But we go. And when he parks, and we decide to walk down the tracks a little ways.
Did he park again on the tracks?
No, he did not this time. He learned his lesson. Well, I don't think he learned his lesson. But this particular time, he did not park on the track. And we start walking down the tracks. And it's just dark and tracks. I mean, there's nothing special about it. You hear woodland noises around you. And we get maybe about 200 feet down the tracks from where we had parked. And see this light in the distance. And I'm like, holy crap. And my buddy, he's real excitable. And he's like, Sean, it's the light. It's the light. Look, it's the Fremont light. And he's jumping and pointing and staring. And I'm looking at it. And I'm like, this thing's like 20 feet off the ground and bright as hell. I'm like, dude, that's a train. Get off the tracks. And he's like, no, it's the Fremont light. It's Fremont light. I'm like, no, it's a train. I jump off the tracks into this field of briars, just like up to your waist briars.
Oh, man.
And I get about 15 feet out deep into it. I'm like, and he's like, no, it's the light. It's the light. And it's getting closer and closer. And I'm screaming, get off the tracks, you idiot. You know, it's the fucking train. And it finally, it got close enough, and they blew their horn at his ass. He has to dive off the tracks into this field of briars.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, my God.
So that was the second time.
Oh, that's so good.
The third time, also me and him, just us.
Mm-hmm.
We go, and he parks on the tracks this time. But I don't know why. We just weren't planning on staying long or doing anything. We just wanted to go. Something to do.
Yeah.
And on the other side of the actual paved road leading near there, there was a house pretty close by. And as we pulled up, you know, as soon as we pulled into this little path, all the lights in this house went off, and I heard like a door open and close, and then like some footsteps in the leaves as I had to cross through the trees. I'm like, whoever's here knows what this is supposed to be, and they're just trying to fuck with us, right?
Now, were you like, I mean, even still with it, the house, the lights going off, and the door closing, and hearing somebody, you know, coming your way, were you scared at, you know, because in any capacity, were you scared because, you know, you don't know who the hell's coming up?
Yeah, I think I was too stupid to be scared, like too young and dumb, you know.
Yeah.
I was more just like, oh, this asshole's trying to fuck with us, and sure enough. A few minutes after we quit hearing the noise in the leaves, a ways down the tracks, you know, where he would have to come from, this red light flashes on one side of the track. And then it goes off, and then like on the other track, a green light flashes on and it keeps going back and forth like that and coming closer towards us. And I'm just positive this is just this dude, you know. So I say to my buddy, there it is. Let's get the shotguns. We don't have anything, you know, but I open the door and slam it and I make the universal sound of cocking a shotgun, you know. About that time, you just hear like someone running full speed through these trees.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Oh, man. That's so good.
Right. So I think this is the fourth time I went, and probably the most exciting of the times for me. And I'm not sure if Biebs remembers my cousin Roger.
Yeah.
A big tall 6'4" Roger. So it was I was about 18 at the time, and I was like, and somehow Fremont Light come up and everybody's like blah blah blah, and I was like, well, I know where it is, y'all want to go see? And they're like, sure. So I had me an old 1982 Dodge Diplomat car my parents bought me for graduation. $300 is awesome.
And remember what $300 could get you? A car, man.
Yeah, wow. No shit.
A reliable one.
Yeah. And so it was me, my cousin Roger, his brother, and another friend of ours, Gerald, or as people in his family pronounce it, Jurl. So important to the story, my other cousin, his name's Eric, he's sitting in the back behind Roger, and Gerald's sitting behind me. And Eric, at the time, was quite overweight. I mean, a good 150 pounds more than he should have been.
Wow. Okay.
He's since grown into himself some, uh-huh. but and Gerald was maybe 100 pounds. I'm driving, you know, driving to the place, and I've been there 3 times in the middle of the night, not really paying attention to where we're going, you know. And I'm like, I get on what I think is like the final road we had to be on. Mm-hmm. And it's a series of these like really quick hills, so it's like real up and down roller coastery type. And so we're having a good time. I'm doing like 65 down these things, right?
Yeah.
Just flying. And we come over this last little hill, and there's just a cornfield straight in front of me. And the road gradually goes off to the right on one side, and a vicious curve to the left on the other side of it. And it would have been perfectly fine if I'd have took that right. But in that split second, it said to my mind, I need to go left. And I was right. That was the direction. But taking a 25-mile-per-hour curve at 65 miles per hour is not a thing you should do. So we get up in this curve, and instantly everybody is screaming because we go on two wheels. And I mean two wheels. Like, I could turn my head to the left and see the line in the middle of the road out my window. My mirror was no more than an inch from the asphalt.
Oh, wow.
And then Eric's big ass slides down this bench seat and just crushes Gerald, and I hear him with scream. Like, I don't even think I had seatbelts in the back seat, but at the time you didn't have to wear them anyway, so it wouldn't matter. And there's no way Gerald can push him off of them, and you know, gravity and centrifugal force won't help in any.
Oh, man.
So he's just dying. I'm like I'm just holy shitting it, you know? I'm like, oh my God, we're going to die, we're going to die. And we came out that curve, dropped down on the four wheels and kept going like it. I was like, okay, this is my favorite car I've ever owned.
Wow. Yeah, no shit, man.
And wow. Rechristened that thing the General Lee or something, man. And she pulls some Dukes of Hazzard shit right there.
And honestly, nothing really happened at the light. It was just that ride that was made that going up there special.
Yeah.
I would never do that again, but oh my That's God, funny. It was like one of the scariest moments in my life. It had nothing to do with a ghost story.
You got some good memories out of it, though.
Oh, yeah. I would not trade anything of those for it.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YE r-weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, it's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of their shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors.
Those are my two big urban legends, which I'm sure you could find stuff for Fremont Light if you looked it up. But one which was very local, which I don't even, I'm sure it's not anywhere on the internet. It's so like local. I probably, if there was a straight road to it, I could have drove to it in 5 minutes from my house. It was in the middle of nowhere, Wayne County. We just called it the Ghost House. And the story behind the Ghost House was that if you go up in front of it and throw a full beer can through the front door, it would come back out empty but unopened.
Uh-oh. Whoa. You got to try that.
Yeah. Sounds awesome. We went to it. It's down, or it was. They've since tore it down, but they... You go down this long dirt road, and the dirt road ends at like a gate, a chain link gate, where the local power plant, it's the back entrance to the local power plant, which doesn't run anymore because nobody uses coal, but or they try not to. But and right before you get to this gate, here's this little old wooden farmhouse, tiny little thing, and sure enough, the door's like halfway open. And we go and check it out. And now I won't say I drink, but I don't drink and drive. And being young, dumb teenagers, we never made it to this place with a full can of beer can to even try it. So I don't know how much the lid, if it works or not.
That's the way my adventures would always go too.
So, but we get out and check it out, and there's a few of us, and my buddy Gerald is just like the biggest fraidy cat of all time, and I love his little ass for it because it brings me so much joy. Fucking. So we all get out, and everybody's like standing off to the side, just looking at this place. It's dark as hell and it's creepy. And and I stoop down, and for some reason, I don't know why they never learned to leave me in the back, but they did. And I, of course, scoop up this big-ass rock. And as they're sitting there and talking about it and daring each other to go up to it, I just pitch a rock through one of the windows. And those guys were in my car and driving away without me so fast. Not believe. I was like, they were just gone. And I was like, I had to jump out of the way of my own car because they were going to run me down. But it was completely worth it just to hear them. And we went back a couple of times. One time we actually walked through the house. No flash.
Was it just full of beer cans?
You know, it was pitch black. We should not have went in there. And we did not have flashlights or anything. And I'm surprised nobody came out without a broken leg because my foot slipped between, like, missing floorboards quite a few times.
Damn.
But we walked through, like, a living room and a kitchen and out the back. And, I mean, basically, all we could do was walk from the light of one doorway out the back door that we could see out of, and that was it. So I don't know what was anywhere. I remember we checked out the barn out back, and there was this huge dead cat in there. It was disgusting. But there was also this path around back, which the power plant used to patrol their perimeter, because people would sneak in to go fishing in their cooling ponds. And because cooling ponds breed, like, monstrous-sized catfish.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And so people would sneak in all the time, and they would patrol it to kick you out. So we decide we're just going to go walk down this path after we've gone to the ghost house. And this particular time, we did have a flashlight, or I had one. And there was, like, five of us. Me and Roger walking in the back, Gerald in the middle, and then two more up front. And we're walking, and we get a good ways away from it. Actually, I believe Roger had the flashlight, because I'm like, Roger, when I say so, just point it straight at Gerald's face. And I, like, there's, like, straw grass growing everywhere. And I just reach down as we're casually walking and rip up a handful of straw. And then as I give Roger the signal, we're going, like, Gerald, look out. And he turns around and I throw a handful of straw in his face. And Roger, like, hits him in the face with a flashlight. And somehow Gerald had snuck a screwdriver out of my car for protection. Oh, no. So he just starts jumping in a circle, stabbing at air and screaming. And he's just stabbing and trying to stab something. And then he takes off running and he, like, runs directly into my chest. And it's like watching somebody trying to run through a brick wall, you know, like his feet are moving, but he's not going anywhere.
That's great.
And there was another incident walking back where I, like, crumpled up a styrofoam cup behind everybody and they took off in my car without me again. The story of, or the legend of the ghost house is my favorite, but we never tried it. I wish we had.
That's a pretty cool legend, man. I've never heard anything like that one before.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just a lot of fun. Teenagers doing stupid shit they shouldn't have been doing. And
that's the best time to get out and explore and, you know, and look for stuff like this, you know, because you are, like you said, you're young and you're dumb and you don't know enough to be scared.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a theory that everyone 25 and under is a moron. Now, you can be over 25 and a moron, but everyone 25 and under is a moron because you do stupid shit you know better than doing.
Yeah. And I think that's a pretty solid theory right there.
Yeah. Like, I'm completely guilty of it. No doubt about it. I've done way too much stuff that I should not have done and been places I should not have been. All in the sake of a good time.
Yeah. Me too, man. For sure. For sure. So, man, I probably even went beyond. I know I went beyond even 25. So.
See, after 25, I like to look at them as mistakes now.
Yeah. Instead
of being stupid.
There you go.
I don't feel that bad about myself that way.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker. Chupacabra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, wait, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story, wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. They're the ones on the edge. You know, they're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun.
There's one other small little thing that's not really anything, but I'm talking, you can, might as well tell you, use it or whatever.
Fire away, man. Absolutely. Fire away.
So right down the road from the ghost house, like, it's basically the same road except one's dirt and the other's half is paved, and there's a road cutting in between them. There was this cemetery off in the woods, and you could see it from the road in daylight, that it's just a bunch of headstones, like, and just trees growing up in between them. This is North Carolina. I believe almost every pine tree in the world is in North Carolina. They're everywhere. And growing amongst all these headstones are just massive pine trees and everything.
There's a ton. Sorry to interrupt, but there's also a ton of these tiny little graveyards.
Yes.
All over North Carolina.
Personal graveyards and graveyards for churches that don't exist anymore. Yeah.
They're old. They're so old that, you know, you can go out there and you can't read the names that would have been engraved on them. So it's kind of cool for that, but it's also that's a little bit of nightmare fodder, I'm sure.
Yeah, you can pretty much like walk through any set of woods and you might find a headstone in it. Mm-hmm. But this was an actual pretty big graveyard, and I don't know if people still visited it or anything. It seemed decently well maintained since you could see it from so far away. Like, not real well, but you could. Anyway, the story was that you could look in the graveyard at night and see these red eyes staring back at you.
Whoa.
And that's just all the story was. There wasn't really much legend about it. It was just you could see red eyes staring at you. And every time we would drive by it, if my buddy Gerald was driving, everybody would scream, "Red eyes," and he'd nearby wreck the car. we did on one occasion stop and just look at it. Mm. And in the middle of the night, we're just on the side of the road looking. And then, you know, sure enough, there looks like two red eyes staring at you out of it occasionally.
Wow.
They didn't last for long. But they would happen every now and then. And the longer we sat there, the more I kind of put together that every time a car went by, these red eyes would shine at us. So it was the taillights reflecting off of some shiny sets. So it was still disappointing to actually know what it was.
But it
was really cool for the 5 minutes that we thought there was something there.
That's great. Thank God for good friends, right? You could have fun with. That's great.
Yeah, there's a similar legend out close to where Barry and I grew up. There's a out in the country. There is a little graveyard, and it's on a it's on the Dover Crescent Road, and it's by a town called Dover. It's relatively close to Dover. And
I just
there was
by there the other day. By the way,
there you go. There was always a legend that there were, if you went out there at night, you would see these like lights in the graveyard. And, you know, that was a big legend. And then, you know, but as it turns out, it was just the lights reflecting, your car lights reflecting off of one of the polished, you know, gravestones as you went by. So, but it freaked out enough people where it was a legend. And, you know, it was big enough to where, you know, there's several towns in the surrounding area were, you know, knew about it and stuff. So,
yeah, it's fun to be gullible for stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You got to go check it out as a kid.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure there's more I know of, but there's nothing that stands out in my head. And those are definitely the only ones I've personally visited. But, yeah, I had a good time ghost hunting when I was a kid.
Yeah, man.
Well, those are great stories, though, man. Yeah. I mean, those are hilarious. And thank you for sharing them. Those were those were a lot of fun. And, you know, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, we tell people we want to hear their weird stories. And, you know, going out and trying to find these weird urban legends, these, you know, supposedly ghost spots, all that stuff, ghost hunting, you know, we want to hear about those. Even if, you know, I mean, 9 times out of 10 or probably even more, 99 times out of 100 or even more, you know, you don't find anything, but you have these, you know, these adventures, going out to the place, and that's you know, I mean, that's the memories, and that's part of the fun, and that's what, you know, gives you the stories. And those were, you know, like I said, those are some great stories.
Every time you go looking for something, you're definitely not going to find it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of the way it goes, you know. So that's great though, man.
And make sure you have at least one full beer can.
Exactly.
Yeah,
just save one, man.
And at least one friend, so you have some. Right. Like, you're going to be bored by yourself or scared.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, man, your buddy's lucky that you're with him when his car is in drive, because you wouldn't have figured that out.
No, he never would have.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
Be telling a different story.
Yeah.
Oh, but luckily, he... that guy teaches our children English and history now. So
that's great. Oh, man. That's hilarious.
Barry, what do you think that people find the most far-fetched? Ghost stories or aliens as being the more unbelievable?
I would say aliens.
You know, I would agree with that probably too. Because I think with ghosts, there's a part of the belief system that is abound throughout the world. And we want to have some kind of assurance of some form of life after death.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with aliens, it's unknown for sure. It's completely unknown. we have only our imagination. We don't have a lot of universal stories that we agree upon that these things exist, maybe.
To believe in aliens is to believe that we are not the sole existence of this world, which goes against a lot of belief systems.
It definitely does. But you know, the great thing about what we're doing here is we are open to all your stories about ghosts or aliens or anything in between or anything outside of. We're not here to judge. We're here to just talk and to share. And we don't want you to think you're crazy because you're not. Talk about some great stories, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those were so much fun and so hilarious. Sean, thank you for sharing those. Those are fantastic.
Thank God for good friends, you know? You go out and you share these experiences with people, and that's worth it, you know?
Yeah.
Not seeing or seeing stuff, you know, but it's the memories, and that's what's great about having great friends, you know? You can experience stuff together and have fun with each other, rag on each other a little bit, you know, and have a laugh.
Absolutely, dude. And especially the ones that are going to leave you behind after you scare the crap out.
yeah man that's hilarious.
Twice I have to. That's so hilarious, dude. But yeah, man, just, you know, I think a lot of people are going to identify with, you know, just the feeling of these stories. You know, they're not, maybe they didn't go chasing urban legends and ghosts, but you know, they have those same kind of dumb fun memories, you know, summer nights and weekend nights in high school when, you know, you got nothing to do. So let's go out and drive in the, I know for us, for sure.
Yeah.
Let's go out, drive around the country for hours or whatever, because there's nothing going on in town.
Yeah.
You know,
see, if we can see some glowing red eyes.
maybe a train light. So, but yeah, dude. And yeah, and Acid Park, man. Acid Park is really, it's a cool place. I've never been out there, but I saw, I've seen all sorts of pictures. I know tons of people that have been out there. And that his story, the variation of it is very similar to the one I always heard about. This guy's daughter died, and that he made all these things as a warning and to, you know, pay attention to these roads and as an honor to his daughter. And he became became like a folk artist after it, you know, from doing all this stuff. And I think he passed away a few years ago, if I'm correct. But
he's prolific, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very prolific and just some really cool whirly gigs and sculptural kinds of things, and just really cool. So worth looking up Acid Park. And
I've never heard of it before. Really cool.
Check it out and go by, because I'm pretty sure it's still there. So. Yeah,
right.
I'm definitely going to have to go try to take a look.
Yeah, you need to.
Next time I'm back. So.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of another episode, another weekly installment of the What's Your Weird Story podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for Sean for being on. You know, we say it every week. We really appreciate you guys listening and, you know, sharing this time with us. And we hope you enjoy it as much as we do. And, you know, we want to hear your stories. We also say that every week because it's true. You guys are what makes this happen.
And you need to know that you're talking to a couple of friends. You're not talking to people that are going to make you feel like this is an awkward situation. It's just fun. And we're hanging out and we're asking questions. And we do it even beforehand, before we even roll the tape, man. We're just hanging out. And that is the fun of what we're doing here. It's not scripted. We don't expect people to read from a piece of paper. We want
they write in and Jeff reads it.
That's
it's
right.
It's not going to be only, us. Right. Jeff reading it because that's his job. You know?
Exactly. Only when Hub does it. But so I mean,
feel free to write.
Right. Yeah. Feel free to write in. But I'm saying, if you come on to the show and you're hanging out with us, we're just talking. Otherwise, please send us your stories written down, and we would love to have our lovely Bigfoot correspondent read those stories, and and make them fun, and we've done it, and it's a good time.
And don't forget, Barry, I know you haven't forgotten, but I don't want our friends listening to forget that we have the What's Your Beer Story live event coming up in October.
Yeah,
October
19th.
Man. In America, man.
That's great.
In Oklahoma.
We're working on some big stuff, guys. We got some great stuff in the pipe. New beer recipes that we're coming up with, and it's going to be a great time. Fall weather is great for beer. Great time for the family to come hang out, you know, spend some time with a bunch of friends, and, you know, bring your family, bring your friends, bring your grandma, bring whoever. We're going to have fun.
Yep. And we're going to share some funny stories, and it'll be a lot of fun. So if you're interested in sharing a story, hit us up through our social media or our email or the hotline. You can find all that on Facebook. You know, we're on Instagram, Twitter. And, well, I guess that's it. Instagram, Twitter, but the website and, you know, in the description of all the stuff for every episode, we have all our links. So check those out. Contact us. Give us a little brief description of what it might be. And we'll be like, yeah, that's what we're looking for. Because basically, we're pretty much looking for just whatever you want to tell.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, again, on that note, we will we'll draw the shades. We'll say goodnight, and we'll put out the cat. I don't put out my cats. I keep them inside. They're too dumb to be outside, you know. So they're not dumb. But yeah, I guess it is. I'm getting sleepy, so I guess it's time to go. So. Hey, everybody! Thanks for listening. Join us next week on the next episode of What's Your Weird Story. And in the meantime, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.